Well, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is Christmas morning here with the DPS. How's everybody doing?
Well, what day is it?
Why, it's Christmas, sir.
Christmas?
I think we should lock up homeless people.
Affordable housing.
But not lock it, but give them a key so give they can lock it they can be safe.
Right.
And unlock it at their leisure.
Sorry, his wording was all wrong, everyone.
Who's that character playing James Hawkins or something? Just keep getting them up at movies rooms.
I hope everyone is having a wonderful Christmas. If you're listening to this on Christmas Day, you are our biggest fan. You, that one person. If anybody else says they also did it, you fight them. You are our biggest fan.
That's actually how it works.
There's
going to be a Google form, and there's going to be a tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be a ring that we're going to give to the initial winner, and if you think you're the biggest and you see the guy with that ring, you got to fight him.
you get one headband that says number one on it. You have to go after the number one headband guy.
Exactly, yeah. It's Highlander rules. You get to keep their stuff. I don't think I'm alone in saying that Christmas Day is one of the best days, especially as a kid. So let me start this off by asking, did you guys wait for your parents to get up as a kid to go up in your presents, or like was that a rule, or did you just run down and just start tearing them open while your parents were walking down in their robes and slippers?
Oh, we'll get our ass beaten if we try to open our presents without our parents. So,
Same.
I don't know what lawless society you were from, but
I didn't do that.
We would always wake. So the way it worked at our houses, we never knew where the presents were hidden.
Okay.
And the night Christmas Eve, we would go to bed, and my parents would set up individual little present piles for each of us. So we would wake up and we would just sit like excited puppy dogs waiting to be let go, because mom would eventually just walk into the room. She'd go, "Okay, John, that's your pile." And I'd run to it. "Okay, James, that's your pile." They wouldn't use our names to label them. They would use symbols. Like, "All right, John, your star."
Wait, was it the same symbol every year?
No, they
changed. Oh, switch it up.
We would have gotten smart to that pretty quick, Jake.
That's what I was going to say. So you had to be like, "Oh, so am I the circle? Do I get this really big one?"
Yeah, circle's got a big one. Don't fuck me, mom.
Oh, man, I'm going to totally do that. Like,
oh, it's great. It's a great little tradition.
We're going to wrap gifts, I guess. I wanted to do it Friday night, but... Yeah, anyway.
Don't kid yourself, Kelly. You always do Christmas Eve. And you're Kelly, always like,
I was up at 2 or 3 a.m.
Anywho, I am totally going to switch it up and not have their names on them so that they so it'll be harder for them to project their what it is onto them.
Because
they won't know whose it's for.
Right.
If there's one thing the Grimplin family is good for, that's good holiday traditions, because we've got a couple.
I'm going to steal that.
That's a fun one, yeah. Now, okay, how about this? Did you guys try to, like, do you ever do, like, the, like, where you, like, shake the present or try to feel it out, see what it might be? Because if you did, you're always wrong, right? Because it's, unless it's, like, clothes. I think that's the only thing you could tell.
Well, I know in our family, my parents, I mean, they just wrapped them. I mean, they didn't try to do anything catchy or anything like that. Like, it's a bike, but it was disguised as, like, something else.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So there was something, the year when I got my Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
I knew exactly what the fuck that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, I seen that in the store. I knew exactly the dimensions of it.
Do you want to hear a magical story about my favorite Christmas ever?
Yes.
So we had our regular Christmas, and we had family friends who had Nintendo 64, and we were just enamored with the system. So my dad, we had our regular Christmas, no N64. None of us are complaining. We're happy with what we got. But then she gives out stockings, and at the bottom of each stocking, I remember this because I got Mario 64. I have a lot of siblings. Between each of us at the time, I think there was... seven. each of us got a random N64 game.
Oh.
We were like, "What's? We don't get what's happening here." And my dad looks at us and go, "You know, there's a TV downstairs. Now you better go look under it." And we all raced downstairs as fast as we could.
N64 sitting there. That's a good one.
My father is the goat when it comes to Christmas surprises.
That's so good. That's really good.
I was hoping you were going to be like, there was just a piece of a Nintendo 64 at the bottom of each stuff. All right, kids, figure it out.
You put it together.
Here's the soldering iron.
Yep. What happens when you have an electrical engineer as a dad?
I was going to say, yeah. Mr. Grimpling could do that.
Yeah, I need to spice up my gift-giving methods to my children.
Fun fact, he did almost the same thing with the Wii, except we all got done opening our presents, and then he was like, hey, go throw on the Peanuts Christmas, and we opened the thing, and there was just a Wii sitting there.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Damn. That was the year it came out, too.
Wow.
For 2 years in a row, Hannah and I had the tradition of watching the entire Witcher season, the Christmas Eve, while we were at presents. Yeah, so it was that was a good one because we got to watch Witcher while we're having presents. So we'll have to do something else this year since that's not happening. But
Christmas, you can rewatch, right?
Rewatch, but I know what I read the books too. So like, what would
Tim?
God, I feel like you put on background noise for wrapping gifts. You don't put on to something that like you need to like devote your attention to. That's just me. I can only do one thing at a time. I'm a lowly pleb.
Well, you are wrong, Tim. You are wrong.
Yeah, how about you have some ADHD and, you know, do multiple things at once?
Yeah, God.
I don't have that superpower.
Thanks for calling it a superpower. There is one person in this group, though, that has the superpower of being an absolute badass of the holy of the holy crusade, which is Benson. As last episode, we ended with you guys dealing with a haunt as a giant phantom bell appeared over every single one of you and the crowd that you were in. You guys were in this atrium outside of the Alabaster Academy in Cantargo. And this bell rang and shook the earth and everyone around, and you felt damage. Some of you were like injured from it, and the unfortunate peasants who are around, the regular people, let's say they're not here, they're not Pathfinder player characters.
they died.
A lot of them took damage. Like I said, you heard bones break, and some people got like internal injuries. But Benson held his sword aloft and screamed for Iomide's aid, and the phantom bell was dismissed immediately.
He did something that's actually very traditional with Paladins of Iomide, which he turned his sword upside down to use the cross guard like a cross.
Oh, yeah.
Sick. See, in the case of today, I mean, were the bells playing Carol of the Bells, like, really loudly? So all you're hearing is just like dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
People are flailing and dying and shit.
They're just replaying that Hershey commercial.
Oh yeah. With the kisses. Yeah.
Except it's like 10 times louder and everyone's like,
it's been playing for 30 fucking years. They haven't made another Christmas ad since.
So for like a split second people were like, oh, that's nice, and then they started getting like internal injuries. They were like, oh my god.
And it's like the Trans-Siberian Orchestra just starts jamming out.
You're like, oh. This is supposed to happen much slower when you eat Hershey chocolate all the time.
So with the phantom bell dismissed and numerous people around you who were laying injured, what do you guys do?
I'll start trying to do what I can to patch people up.
Okay.
I know Elk took damage. I think he was the only one that took damage.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so he... I would say, honestly, like, he was holding his ears, like, just, like... cringing, because like this is like, as you kind of said, it just crunches into your bones and shakes them. It's kind of like going to a rave and putting your back against a speaker, except worse.
Oh yeah.
But
I did something similar once at a concert and had the worst headache of my life afterwards.
Yes. Oh my god,
yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
Oh, it rattles you.
Yeah,
but you're like, he is trying to figure out what the fuck that was. Like, he's never experienced something like that. He's just, what the hell? Like,
If you want to roll, I know you're not trained in religion, but you are trained in a cult, right?
Yes.
You could try to roll a cult, and try to figure out, you know, what this just was.
Yeah, he will do that. Let me get my sheet up, and I will roll a... Oh, 28.
Yeah, so you recognize it as a haunt, but it's... What's strange to you about a haunt is that usually haunts are summoned or like stuck certain places. Mm. And you guys were here for, you know, an hour or so because you were trading back and forth with the, you know, with the magic items and stuff like that. And you guys were here discussing, you know, like what your next steps were. So you guys were just hanging out, having a nice day. And all of a sudden this just happened.
Hmm.
One thing that you do notice, however, Elkwood, is that as you're sort of looking around and trying to figure this out, there's a light scent of what smells like an herbal tea that was not there. And it showed up when the bell showed up, and now it's gone.
Oh, dang, so, this is...
Chamomile.
Yes, yeah, so fill in whatever herbal tea you want, but there's a hint of an herbal tea that was not there, and there's clearly no one holding just tea next to you.
Nature check.
this haunt was cast by a bunch of hippies.
A bunch of hipsters.
Wait a minute, is that an Englishman? Get out of here!
So, that's English breakfast?
Grimshaw is gonna roll a lore herbal tea on this. He took a very special feat.
Sure, go ahead.
As you know, Grimshaw's character is optimized for this adventure.
Clearly.
So he's going to roll herbal tea.
Are you actually rolling herbal?
That's a 15 on the die. I have a plus 36 modifier. I really put a lot of ranks into this. That's a 51.
You realize it is a mixture of chamomile and lavender.
That's chamomile and lavender. Why? I haven't smelled that since. I was last at a tea shop.
I walked by a Lush.
I got bumped in by the perfume aisle.
I just got assaulted with fumes walking by.
Yeah, but he, like, kind of relays that. He's just like, this morning I smell fucking tea? Like, seriously.
Yeah, that's the thing that's so jarring about it. There's no reason for it.
But, like, it happened as soon as the haunt happened, right?
So
it
was just... Yeah,
God, that, okay. So, was that this guy, I'm blanking on the guy's name, the Baron?
But Barzillai Throon.
Barzillai Throon, was that his favorite tea as well?
Make me a society check, to sort of recall that.
it's such an odd thing.
Yeah.
Shit, that's good though. 33.
Okay, you remember hearings as some of the people were talking about like when they would experience some of these things, that some of them remember smelling either an herbal tea or mint, or hearing the sounds of birds that weren't in the area. There's like very small clues as to when they would see his face, when something would appear. And so, yeah, you're kind of like, that's what those people were talking about. Like, it clicks that this was a haunt somehow related to Barzillai Throon, the previous dictator or tyrant of Kintargo.
Again, this is, like, strange for him. He's confused about this. But he will patch himself up.
Okay.
By using his healer's tools, so okay. No one has to waste anything.
Got it. Just cover your hands. Cover your ears with your hands.
I don't know how it would fucking work, but my bones hurt.
So Kezra is standing in the doorway of the academy, and he just yelled at the head dude. What was his name again?
I don't know if I gave him a name, but his name's Professor Blake.
Professor Blake. So he's yelling at Professor Blake, like, "Do you see? Do you see what? What was this?"
Great Scott! I don't know. I guess the rumors were true. And healers, and he runs and goes to the alchemist laboratory, and they come out with some healing potions, and they start administering them to people, helping people up. And he starts asking questions, and he just goes, I feel terrible. Usually you hear something like that and you assume it's just some buffoon who's, you know, spoke too much flaily for something. But here I'm... I heard church bells and I thought they were off key or off time, you know, and you look and it's clearly not, you know, top of the hour. Mm. And he's just, like, you can tell he's kind of, like, almost annoyed that he didn't know, but kind of relieved that now he, like, saw it. And so now he's, like, interested in trying to help you figure it out, too. He goes, can you tell me anything that happened? Anything at all?
We couldn't see anything, could we? Or did we actually see bells?
No, so the only thing that you guys saw was when Benson did his religion check to dispel it and the light shined, you could see, like, the figment of a bell that, like, was vanished from the light. So you saw a bell, but it wasn't clearly making itself visible.
Were the bells designed differently? They just look like bells, or were they like hell's bells?
just like regular church bells that you would see, you know, at the top of a steeple.
Kezra asks Professor Blake, "Why are we hearing haunted bells? Does that mean anything to this city?"
If the rumors are true, then if Basilei Thrun is showing up again, his great conquest was to become a genius loci. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Sounds like some weeb shit.
No, not quite. So it's something that only madmen attempt to do, in which they try to become the spirit of the city itself.
Hmm.
So perhaps he succeeded in some way. The Silver Ravens, I thought, defeated him and made sure that he had no power. But perhaps he did succeed in some fashion, and maybe there's remnants of him that are grasping to the stone walkways and the brick buildings.
Well, if there are remnants, we'll root it out.
Well, if you need help researching, I have an entire school available to you. So we will research this. I will get my students working on it right away.
Books useless. Don't waste my time.
Professor Blake, does this mean things are all water under the bridge between us?
Yes, I suppose. I genuinely will want to say sorry for being such a naysayer in this. As I said, I mostly assumed it was people not in the right mind, but here, clearly, I was the one not in the right mind.
Well, I don't mean to put too fine of a point on it, but, does that mean I'm back? I can go back into the academy?
If you must.
Alright, cool. You're gonna take down my picture, right?
Yes. We'll get your student ID and... Perhaps your locker is still there. And he goes over and he opens up a locker, a bunch of beans fall out. Oh! Oh, we never cleaned that out. I'm sorry.
My beans!
Precious beans! It's just a picture that's taken down, and it's just Grimshaw smoking a cigarette, like, flipping them off or something.
It was the only Grimshaw picture we could get for the yearbook.
Grimshaw with an AC/DC shirt on.
He always kept smoking in the bathroom. We told him not to.
We told him no.
Damn, Grimshaw, you sounded cool.
Turned into such a square.
I just love smoking my beans.
You smoke beans, but
we told him Flayleaf was fine. Smoking beans was out of the question.
Some of a cool kid smoked Flayleaf.
How did your family prepare their bean dishes? I smoked them.
Smoked my beans.
Smoked my beans.
Smoking beans.
And think about them smoked beans.
Christmas pastime. Smoker beans every year.
Ooh, I'm glad we closed up that character arc between Professor Blake and Grimshaw. So
yes, the guy that I forgot the name of and had to make it up on the spot.
We finished this whole adventure, and then at the end, it's just him going, "You're still not allowed inside."
He just plunges a sword deep into his chest.
If you guys talk to him and he explains more about the genius loci, I pulled this up in the Pathfinder Wiki just to kind of give you sort of a textbook thing here, but a genius loci, also called a spirit of place, is a rare sentient animate landmass similar to a loci spirit or lar, but much larger in its range and power and influence. It is possible to become one. A genius loci differs from a loci spirit primarily through its focus on specific powerful mortal soul. A mortal might be able to become a genius loci through ritual magic, though the process depends on the individual, much like the process of becoming a lich. You are removed in the entirety of your being, and you become something else. Once complete, the infusion is permanent, and the genius loci is effectively immortal. And that is why Professor Blake is so very worried about this, because he assumed that he was defeated. And all of a sudden, it looks like he might not have been entirely defeated.
Was there a specific loci of operation that we could investigate to see where this ritual might have been performed?
I don't recall. The Silver Ravens did all that, and that was a very, very long time ago. My concern is that he might have a conduit of some kind, Barzillai. I would assume his soul would be trapped in hell, where it belongs, but if he has a conduit or something bringing him back, that is what worries me the most.
Where, Grimshaw would probably already know this. So, like, the Silver Ravens, you said?
Yeah, the Silver Ravens were, they were a group of, like, rebels, that were going against Barzillai.
Yeah. They around anymore?
No, their numbers have sort of dwindled, and they didn't have purpose anymore, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, if you know about, like, the, in Fallout, like the Brotherhood.
Played so many Fallout games. Yeah.
Well, what they did was they were pretty much a group of paladins, and like when they went somewhere, they did a job and then they left.
Okay.
And not because they wanted to, but because if they weren't needed, they were needed somewhere else. The Silver Ravens, they weren't needed anymore. They got old or whatever, and then they just sort of disbanded.
So there might be some silver ravens out there.
Perhaps.
Some
silver maybe foxes. Damn you, I was going to say that.
Is Anderson Cooper okay?
Silver fox raven around here?
Okay.
So we were about to... we just regrouped with Grimshaw. We were going to go investigate his missing order. Order members.
Correct.
So that's what Kezra's thinking about. He's like,
I don't know if these events are related, but I think we should find out what's going on with your missing order members. They're in trouble or they're involved. So maybe they could be of use or help. Or we could just help them, because we should.
Yeah. What'd you say, Kezra?
What?
That's exactly. The bell ringing, I think, got to me. I lost track of why I'd even come here. But yeah, I think we should make haste. There's really not a moment to lose. I heard that some of them would be gone a week. I shudder to think what kind of... I mean, I just have no idea what's happened. It's very concerning. And if there's anyone who knows what's going on in the city, it's my order, so... I think if we figure out what happened to the missing members, we can start to unravel the mysteries that we've come across here.
Sound logic, I think.
Okay. I did kind of want to go over this. So you guys have three leads right now, or I should say leads. You have three plots going on right now, because you have the Crimson Briar, which has clearly been taken over in some fashion. And then you have these remnants of Barzillai Throon, which you've just experienced one and you heard about it. That's about it. And then you have the Sunset Imports to go investigate. So you guys want to go to the Thorny Rose Tavern, the secret base of the Scarlet Briar,
Crimson Briar.
We're never going to get that right.
Yeah. So that's, okay. That's definitely where we're going to head.
Okay.
So, Grimshaw, as kind of we're walking along, he is going to, like, he has a set of paths that he takes, and what they do is he has, like, permutations of these paths to get to the Thorny Rose Tavern, and the purpose of that is that he kind of almost never takes the same path twice. So he, like, shift an alley, shift a road, you know. Oh, he always mixes it up, and you see him that he's, like, checking his back, like, almost incessantly. And as he's going along, he's, like, doing his double speak, and he's saying stuff like,
"Oh, yes, over here, this building is a great monument to the struggles of the people of Cantargo."
And maybe he's gesturing toward this building, but he actually notices someone peering out that looks a little suspicious, you know? So stuff like that, he's just kind of, like, using his doublespeak to maybe point out people that they may be harmless, but he's just not taking any chances. And then, I mean, it was, like, a 10-minute walk, but it took you, like, 30 minutes to get here because he was just... being so careful. I mean, usually he takes, like, you know, double the amount of time to get to Thorny Rose Tavern, but because of just, like, the high stakes of it all, and he's with a group that attracts a little bit of attention.
you.
I feel like every time you do the double speak and, like, "That guy could be shady, watch out," Benson and Elk just look at each other and kind of fade back. Come back. It's like those could have been good people. And we're like, we killed every single one you pointed out. They're all dead.
Yeah, you said they were shady. We took care of them.
Yeah. We eliminated the threat.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I can't beat you guys anywhere.
Look, we even put your fingerprints on the scene.
I like how you're casually embarrassed about our murder.
Oh, guys. Really?
Guys. You. Laugh track.
Freeze frame.
But as we are walking there, Grimshaw will like at one point just like look to Benson and be like,
"Is that what you did back there? Is that what the cloak bestows upon you? I've never seen anything like that."
I in a way I suppose it does, but it's just my faith. I really believe. I don't think it's just the cloak. It's... she just came when I called.
Okay. Cool. I'm gonna have to... maybe I can ask you some notes about your prayers. It seems that me and Milani, we... I don't know, she doesn't get back to me. Not recently, anyways.
Well, you're really aggressive and, like, you were like, "Needy? Get down here, you bitch." And it was really weird. She didn't talk to her god that way.
Wait, you don't talk to your god that way?
You don't disrespect your god on really a daily aggressive. Basis? What the fuck, man?
You don't demand things of Amity?
Weird. The tenets of Milani is you neg Milani.
Come on, Milani!
Especially knows you really want it.
Really prayer shaming here.
Yep.
Yeah, you see Benson do that, and all of a sudden you'll see him fly across the room with a backhand just imprinted on his cheek, and you're like, "Oh, no, he pissed her off."
I just asked her what the weather would be like today.
She said, "That's not my job."
I'm not the god of divination.
Talk to Gosray.
Go find a nerd. But no, it's just my faith. There's nothing special. Well, there's quite a bit special about the cloak.
It's pretty incredible.
But I couldn't really tell you.
I see. Well, here we are. This is Thorny Rose Tavern. Just play cool, follow my lead.
Walking through a city with you is like trying to navigate through a Where's Waldo painting.
Yeah, only you never find Waldo. And that's the point.
Because we killed him.
Because we killed Waldo.
Dang it, not Waldo. Man, I liked that guy.
He's so tricky. He's a fun party bit.
No, like, when I pointed Waldo out and said, this is a really great guy, I actually meant that.
That was the devil speak. I was honest.
He's dead.
You guys... That's when Elka just goes, you know, we could have shaved 10 minutes off if we just went that way.
Exactly. Yes. Very observant.
You guys get to the Thorny Rose Tavern. Let me do the read of this place since you guys are arriving here for the first time. The owners of this bar love roses. Each pillar is carved and painted to look like the entire establishment is held up by a thick mass of rose vines. Irons are forged into rose vines lining the ceiling in metal trim. Exquisite vines and high-quality ales line the back wall. While the location and size can be called humble, the work displayed in front of you is strikingly profound. A young man that Grimshaw knows by the name of Alvin Hawkins, played by Paul Dano, he is facing away from you, and he's slowly just, like, cleaning a glass. And there's nobody else in the bar.
I sit down
at the
bar.
Where is everybody?
He very slowly turns around, and he's just like, I told them all to leave.
What's that?
I don't know if something's about to go down there.
You had people missing in the basement, and you had patrons appear.
What was I supposed to do? Draw suspicion? Who the hell are you?
Hey. Benson, remember when I said, let me do the talking? I meant that literally. This is,
we're not talking about Yomide here.
This is my backup. They're with me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Go home.
Alright. Goodbye, Mr. Grimshaw. And he just leaves.
Aww. Isn't he Sir Grimshaw?
I don't know. I don't know if he would call you Sir Grimshaw.
It's Sir Grimshaw.
Backhanded.
Hey, come back here.
Come back here, Alvin. Come back here. Hey, sir.
Grabs him by his scruff in his underwear and just tosses him into the street.
Next time, learn respect.
And they go, Alvin, ain't you work there?
Kick him out in the cold. Don't give him his jacket.
So I'm going to barricade the door behind him.
Okay. Yep. It's a typical tavern door, so you know it locks and bars and stuff like that.
Good. Make sure that guy Alvin can't get back in.
He took his spare set of keys.
Hey guys, I forgot my wallet. Can you just shove it under the door, please?
No.
Cut to us divvying up his wallet money.
He only had two gold pieces in here. Come on, man.
I hear those are my only two gold pieces. Get them.
And they're mine.
Can I have one?
No.
Oh.
Hmm? Right. Isn't there Rubens cooking back here too?
Yes, Rubens. Give us the Rubens.
Yeah, there's the Ruben machine back there. You can
have
as many as you want.
It's a wizard invention.
Anyway, you guys are in the Thorny Rose Tavern. Right. Grimshaw, you know this place pretty well.
Yep. So over a couple Rubens, I start going over the floor plan of the hideout below. So just like a basic, you know, basic layout, like, you know, storerooms here. We have like little, you know, weapons cache here, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The war room is there. He's like,
there's been suspicions of that our ranks have been infiltrated. No one's ever been able to prove anything, but there's been suspicions, so I feel like I thought this day would come, but I just didn't think it would come now. I don't know what we're going to find down there. I don't even know who we've been tailed by, but we're infiltrated by it, that is. I just don't know what to expect. Fiends, fae, devils, demons, anything goes.
I don't, I would know about the how close quarters everything is down there. Is there space for Vermeer, or is it just like there's probably no space for a giant bird?
Not really.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Okay. This is underground, too, so the ceilings are
big enough for large birds. What is this?
Vermeer, go back to the rookery. I mean, just...
That's him landing and taking out the rookery.
No. He goes up and he lands on top where the ravens are, like the message ravens. And the guy on top, he just comes out and he's just like, "What the hell?"
he's just chilling up there. He's not even doing anything. He's just
exactly.
I just like the idea of us seeing the rookery off in the distance, and the camera's like behind our heads. It's like, "All right, Vermeer, go to the rookery," and you just see him slowly fly. Land and it just catches on fire.
The whole thing just falls. Like, oh shit!
What do you do? I don't know, but at this point, it's not our responsibility. Let's go.
It's not my bird.
Oh, we're underground.
Do you have to like register that thing with the city so they don't like shoot it down?
Oh yeah,
most certainly. There's a tag on his foot.
Yeah, he's got a tag.
Oh, he's got a tag. He has like a silver bracelet on his freaking thing.
Yeah.
Also, let him buy alcohol.
That's true. He's old enough. All right.
All right. So you guys want to head down into the Thorny Rose Tavern basement?
What are we walking into?
When you were laying things out over the Rubens, Kezzer was also helping himself to the ale.
Of course.
Kezzer is pissed drunk right now.
I like to think that we're like, there's a Reuben machine back there, and we get back there and just this line cook named Bob. It's like, that's mean, calling this guy that.
I hate it when they make that joke. It's really insensitive.
He's a man with
the
Reuben
machine, though. He's so good.
Do you pay him?
Yeah, of course we pay him.
I like how you kicked out the other guy, but let Bob stay to make
the Reuben. Well, Bob has value.
He's more important than anyone can pour a beer.
Poor Paul Dano's character.
Anyone can pour a beer. I mean, not everyone can make a Reuben.
I wonder if our listeners are ever surprised by how much I can be an asshole.
Do you guys see the map for the Thorny Rose Tavern?
Yep.
All right. So this is the storage/atrium. The storage room has two sets of stairs leading down into the center. This room is filled on the north and south wall with barrels of food, drink, and miscellaneous tools. On the western wall sits a shallow pool of water with a fountain pouring from the hands of angel statues. Each of the angel statues have their heads removed.
Is that typical?
Nope.
Oh no. Uh-oh. The statues.
Oh no, the basement angels.
It looks a little deliberate, Grimshaw.
Oh. Mm. This has never been creepy.
Kezra will detect magic into a cone.
You do detect magic coming specifically from that statue.
Ooh.
Is that statue supposed to be magically trapped or anything?
No, it was just a beautiful work of art. One of our members thought it would kind of liven up the place, you know, give it some character instead of it just being a dank, dirty storeroom.
Yes, we all need to lighten up our storage cellars.
We spend a lot of time down here, okay?
Where do you hang out? Okay, so, yeah, you detect magic and is this a thing where you had to heighten it in order to know what kind of magic it is?
It is heightened for me.
Okay.
So as third level, so you learn the school of magic, and the highest for the highest level thing.
There's only one, and I'll tell you that it is evocation.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not a trap.
Wonderful. Yeah, I mean, I guess I would have to roll higher. Thievery, but could I do that just so I can see and say, oh, that is definitely a trap? Like,
go ahead and roll. Well, let's see. I already told you where it is because it's coming from the statue itself. If you want to go ahead and try and do. Yeah, go ahead and try a thievery check.
Oh my gosh.
I'm actually not bad at them now because it. works with my what's it called, dex. So it's actually pretty damn high. So, and with a 15 on the die, plus 17, so that's a 32, I believe.
Okay, that is a success. So you let's see, what would thievery do here? As you go up and you sort of sense near it, you get a sort of like, you can feel like an energy hum off of it, and it's sort of like tingly, and you're like, I got it. And you see a spot of dirt where like some of the stone has been taken up in the floor, and you take a metal rod and you stick it in the dirt, and then you let it drop onto the statue, and an arc of electricity goes into the ground and disappears.
Oh, grounds it.
Grounds it, yeah.
Wait, look at that.
Wow.
That would have been really bad.
Yes, it would have been very bad. Are you able to identify that by chance, Kizer?
I can spend 10 minutes to do it.
Okay, well.
I'm going back up for another Reuben.
That's time for two Reubens.
Bob!
Keep going, Bob.
Did you really just hand me a Reuben without nail? Come on, Bob.
Sorry, man. What are we not paying you for?
Alvin. Bob is very well paid.
Definitely. He makes the best Reubens.
Did you hear about that one, The Kitchen Nightmares Returned, with Gordon Ramsay? And there was a chef who was being paid like over $100K to be a chef. Whoa. But he was a terrible chef.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I was about to say, if you're talking about like a 5-star restaurant, I can see that. But
no, this is like a kind of like a hole in the wall joint. But yeah, he was paid $100K and he didn't even make his own macaroni and cheese sauce.
No.
Nah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh god.
Nah. Yeah. If you can't do that, you're not even worth 25.
No. But Bob is basically making the equivalent of $100K, but he's worth every penny. Exactly. Or every gold.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to point out, he can't make another sandwich, but no one gives a damn.
No. What's the menu? What do you have?
Why make anything else?
On the menu?
Reuben.
You have Reuben, Dale.
If you're up and you ask, can I see a menu? They're all like, get out.
You know what to do. So, Kessler, do you want to spend the 10 minutes? It's mostly just so I can tell you what it was, not necessarily.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So you spend the 10 minutes.
I need a roll for it.
Oh, yeah, you do need a roll, yeah.
28.
I'll say that's fine. You go over and you're looking at the statue now, knowing that you know that the spell has been expended, that was inside of it, and so you're looking at it, and you do find some runes that were written on it for a chain lightning.
Mm.
Oh my gosh,
that's
that'd have been painful.
That's a really high level spell.
It is. Holy crap.
Oh my gosh.
When do you learn that, Kezra?
Was that one of the spells I could have learned at 5th? I feel like it's a 6th level spell.
It is a 6th level spell.
Jeez.
Yeah,
because that's probably one I would not pass up on. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So, soon.
This does not bode well for the rest of our time here.
Yes. Let's proceed cautiously. Where do we go from here?
Is it just the one door?
So you see there's the door on the north side of the western wall. Grimshaw, you know that this is the storage room. There's also a bed in there that the owners would use to sleep in sometimes. And you also know of a there's a secret room down here, or there's a secret door down here to the southern side of the western wall. So you know about that one. Mm-hmm. But everyone, if you want to roll me perception checks while you're in here, to kind of like look for clues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can also look in the storage closet too.
Clue-hun. Storage closet meaning on the western wall.
Okay. So it's the obvious door, I should say. Mm-hmm.
While they're searching the room, I'm gonna put my ear to the door, make sure it sounds okay.
Alright.
Damn. Not that I think I'll do better than the ranger, but I got a 29, which I'm pretty proud of.
No, 29. You did. I got 27.
Ooh. I actually rolled a natural 15 for a 30.
Nice. All right.
Cool. Okay, so the three of you are looking around, and you see just, like, regular, you know, signs of people walking in and out and stuff like that. Nothing unusual. Like, you don't see any bloodstains, you know what I mean? So nothing happened here in particular. Except Benson, at a certain point, you feel a draft come from over here, just behind the torch sconce.
Where was it?
You, right here. Can you see my ping, by chance?
Yes.
So at the stairs sort of wrap around. It sort of makes like a C shape, how the stairs kind of come into the room. And at the north side of the top bend, there's a torch there. There's a little sconce, but when you walk past it, you felt a breeze.
I point that out to the room. It's a bit awkward. Do you think you could check that out?
Do I know about anything beyond that?
You do not know about that one, Grimshaw.
Oh.
You don't know about that sconce.
This is very disturbing. I thought I knew every inch of this place, but I don't know of anything beyond that wall.
There's always a higher pay grade.
When was the last time you were here?
I was here about a month ago.
Let's see here. He'll stealth up. 35 stealth.
I hate you.
Yeah, that's pretty good stealth.
I hate you so much.
Yeah. So yeah, he'll move up to inspect.
Okay.
And perception. Like, and he is taking precautions due to my ability.
Yep.
For other possible things like scent or magical traps and shit.
Okay. All right. So you go up and you perceive the door.
So. Yep. I'll put it right here. That's the door, correct? That one.
So there's the door here that you guys came in from, but where you felt the wind is the torch sconce. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. So he'll inspect it. I guess perception or thievery. Plus 17. Fuck yeah, 33.
Mm. That is. Well enough to know.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle to find the secret door. So you discover that there's a stone in the wall that you, as you sort of like put your hands up and you're sort of like wiggling things and seeing if something moves or gives, there's a slight stone in the wall that when you push it to the side, it unhinges or it undoes that. It was holding the door in place, so when you move it, the door sort of opens up to you a little bit, meaning you could like open it.
Yeah, and just kind of like. Like when he's handling it, he just kind of thinks, he goes, this kind of feels familiar. Like back when the organization he worked for, that was like, you know, secret passages in certain spots.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like once he got a feel for it, he's like, ah, this is what they did.
Yep.
Kezra, you guys hear him whisper a little chant to himself, and then he just wipes his hands over his eyes, and they begin to glow as he can now see invisibility.
Ooh.
Good. Very nice. That's good move.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
yes.
No, that's a one action thing. Actually, this is a quick aside. Remember when our armor was broken, Benson, by the Orm Vorax? We never rolled to fix that.
But that's because Kezra was doing it.
I was able to do it. I think we actually forgot to roll, but it would have been something we did on the road.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, are we just hand waving it, or do you want rolls?
Hand wave it. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah. I have very good crafting. I looked at the DCs. Okay. I definitely would have hit it over the course of that travel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And you would have fixed my shield too.
Yep. Cool. Your stuff. I would have repaired all of their hit points.
Thank you. Just wanted to make sure that was clear before we,
somebody blows up the Discord.
They didn't fix their armor before they got in that combat, they would all die.
And I would have been sitting back here going, I don't give a shit.
Grimshaw, you said you were checking out the storage closet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you put your ear up to it, you don't hear anything. Okay. So you believe it to be safe. Let me go read the storage closet. Where did I write it? 1B. Storage closet. This closet has stacks of more food and barrels of the most expensive wines. A well-used bunk bed adorns the north wall. You would know this, Grimshaw, as you knew the owners. This closet is where the owner comes down to take a nap periodically. Ever since he learned about the importance of sleep, he has been maximizing the amount of time he spends in REM, and will sometimes periodically come down here to take tiny little naps.
Mm-hmm. He's a big nap guy.
He's a napper.
The room smells suspiciously of Rubens.
I was about to say, it's just funny, food and wines, no Rubens supplies.
And he's just drunk and in food coma.
I was trying to start drama that Bob sleeps in here too.
Oh, he probably does. He might. It's a bunk bed that anyone can use.
There's sauerkraut Swiss everywhere.
I just really want to flesh out the Bob character.
We'll flesh him out.
When can he join the party?
What are you talking about? He's been here the whole time.
Do you want a 15th level barbarian? Do you really?
Wielding a pan.
Hey guys, let's
pan and a cleaver.
Let's not spoil my backup character.
Grimshaw, do you want to look in this room at all? It's a regular storage closet, but you have been in here plenty of times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely want to search around. Maybe there is something that... A clue? Something that someone dropped? I mean, clearly sure. If they, you know, desecrated the angel statue, they probably messed around in here, too.
I'll desecrate holy angel statues, but I'm not messing with a good feather bed. Come on.
Is the angel head statue still in the room?
Yeah, it's still there. There was a the spell was cast on it, so that way if anybody tried to interact with it,
is the head of the statue still in the room?
So there were multiple heads. It was sort of like a clumped bunch of angels that they're all their hand. No, there's no heads anymore.
Yeah,
like someone took them.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah. As I said, it seems oddly deliberate.
Mm-hmm. So I got a 30 for just rooting around in here.
Sure. you root around in the barrels and boxes and stuff. You find the typical Reuben and ale.
It's just prepackaged Reubens.
Prepackaged Reubens.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit, we found the secret.
This is the real story.
You're done, Bob. You're done.
Paying you 100 grand a year for prepackaged Reubens.
As you go through the mattress, however, poking around in there, you find a note found under the mattress. So in between the boards and the mattress itself, you find a note. It is a handwritten note. It looks to be written in haste. That says, "To any stems or thorns that finds this, flee if you can. A horrible Assyrian woman has defiled the resting places of our late champions to the faith. I cannot bear the weight of guilt if any harm were to come to you too."
Uh oh.
What the fuck?
Assyrian.
Wow.
Huh. So this has defiled. You said the graves?
Oh. Defiled the resting places of our late champions to the faith.
I'm sure it's not a big deal.
That doesn't sound good.
No. Yeah. That kind of reminds me of the Hell Knights, with their graves being messed with.
Mm hmm. Is there anything else I can like glean from this? Like, is there like insinuations of like undead?
You're not sure. Mm-hmm. You would think anyone who defiles the resting place of something like that would be bad. Yeah.
Did you know of this person by like when before you had left? Had you known about this as an enemy to the order?
Yeah, can I roll? Because no. I mean, the enemy, the order has lots of enemies, right?
The order does have a lot of enemies, but with the. By the way, you recognize this to be the handwriting of the owner.
Oh, interesting. That's even more surprising. Wait a second. Oh, because they left. They took.
Yes. So, that being said. You don't remember any sort of, like, Assyrian woman that had, like, come by. A lot of people come and go, so maybe she just came, you know, when you weren't there or something like that. Or maybe it was just in passing or something like that. But there was nobody that stuck out to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's gonna pocket this. Well, he's not gonna pocket it. He's gonna share the information with the rest of the group.
So what's your call? It told you to flee. Does that mean anything?
No. I mean, if people came down and didn't come back up, my only goal is to go deeper. I mean, it was the owners who wrote this. I think anyone of the Briar would do all they could to help out the rest. They wouldn't flee like cowards. I get it. Like, the owners here, like, they did us a solid by letting us operate under here. I didn't expect them to stick their necks out any further than they already have by writing this note.
So we move forward, then.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so I guess
the question we have, though, is I know of a secret area towards the southwest. Elkwood, you found that place to the northeast.
Yes, there's a secret passage back here as well.
Yeah. Where do you guys want to go first? You want to go in the known ground, more or less? Or should we delve into the unknown?
Delve into the unknown.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I just said it in a funny voice, and now we're doing it.
Yep. That's all you have to keep doing, then we'll just do it.
Yeah, we'll
just
do it. Listen to everything you say. All right, you go. So the... excuse me. You go to the north secret door that Elkwood had found, and you guys open it. When you open the door...
Make sure Grimshaw's in the way. Okay, there he is. Perfect. Yep.
So, Grimshaw, you are walking through.
Just so you know, I am taking... There's an exploration action. It's called, like, defense or something, where you can move at half speed but have your shield raised. So if combat does start, you have your shield automatically raised.
That's cool.
Kenzer's going to be detecting magic.
Sick.
Okay. All right, I will say that you do detect magic. These are stone walls. Let me ask that first. How thick of a stone wall can you go through with detect magic?
Pretty sure it's like 30 feet.
It's a 30-foot cone, but in terms of line of effect, are you asking because it's like windy?
Yeah. So it's just that there's a lot of thick stone walls here. So I just want to make sure, because I know sometimes it's like 3 feet of stone, and it's like, okay, so.
Oh right. It doesn't specify how far through.
Okay.
I imagine it just says 30-foot emanation. So to me, that means that it should be visible, like line of sight.
Oh, right. Okay.
Could I shield one hand, detect magic with the other?
I don't say why not.
All right. I'm going to detect magic then, as Grimshaw does an incantation similar to you. Oh, actually, no, you're sorcerer. So yeah, he does an incantation and he detects magic as well.
Okay. I'll say that since it's like an exploration activity, you're sort of like holding your mace aloft, and it's sort of like a dowsing rod, using it like a. And the Morning Star does seem to like hum when you open up this door. You, as the door opens, Grimshaw, you recognize this to be the Hall of Heroes. This long hallway stretches into the east. It'd be stretching into the west since you guys are coming from the other direction. The walls are decorated with statue busts depicting heroes of the cause and champions of Milani from ages past. So you see numerous 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You see six statue busts of various champions from who knows how long ago that were commemorated here, and they have a memorial that have been set up over 50-100 years or something like that. So these are particularly notable people from the cause.
All right, I've kind of got this like creepy feeling from the note. I'm like,
if anything bad went down, it's probably here. This is the Hall of Heroes. I suggest we rush in and take defensive positions,
So I'm gonna kind of do like a, you know, like a 1, 2, 3, and then
Benson's like,
I'm gonna like, I'm gonna bust in and get ready.
All right. As you go into the room,
I close the door.
You close the door.
He's with his table.
Guys,
fucking forget him.
Wait.
He's with his people. He's fine.
I'm very badly burned.
Left the boy.
You see on each of the bus there's a name, and most of them are wearing similar armor and similar armaments. As all of you have filed in and you're sort of looking around and you get this like eerie feeling, you hear what almost sounds like a choir, but also like screams of agony and like fear.
Shit.
And they start to rise up around you, and you see ghostly visages of these champions are coming out, and they begin screaming out in anger and betrayal almost. And they just say, "No! Not be defiled!" And I need you all to roll will saves.
Ooh. Another one of these, huh?
Oh boy, that's not good.
That's not bad. Been rolling rocks.
Kesra, I'm pretty happy with that.
Kesra gets rocked by this. He rolled a natural 2.
Oof.
For 18.
Ooh.
Mm. So, I don't know if I told you. You guys have a hero point for this bit. So if you want to use it now, you're more than welcome.
You get a Christmas hero point.
I literally just used my hero point for that last save.
Oh, that's true.
Hold on to this one. I feel like I'll be okay.
Well, maybe haunts just aren't even a thing. Maybe they just really freak you out. All right, so let's go around the room. Benson, what do you got?
32.
Nice.
32. That is a success. That is a success. Grimshaw, what'd you get?
27.
27. That is a success. Elkwood.
16 on die for 33.
33 is a success. And then what was your total there, Kesra?
18.
That is a regular fail. A regular fail. Everyone who succeeded, let me go into what this is. A choir of lost souls rises out of the statues, not the floor, singing an eerie chant that terrifies its listeners and buffets their bodies with walls of sound. Just something called profane chant. You guys are going to take... Let me see. If you guys saved... Oh, boy. For everyone that saved, you're going to take... 36 halved to 18.
I'd be worried there for a second.
Wait, what?
I don't want to play anymore.
And you are frightened 1.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, what was it? 36 halved, you said?
36 halved to 18, yeah.
Okay.
For the one failure, you take full damage, so you take the 36 and you're frightened 2. I am going to ask you all to roll initiative.
Great. Oh boy.
As the ghostly choir comes in.
Nice.
Whew. We got two holy boys trying to deal with this.
Yeah, it is funny that it does that, because it's like... good champions against haunts. Awesome. Yeah.
And this room just like really small, because Kesra has no sight.
Yeah, I can't see either.
Can't see anything. That is because it is dark in here. There's some ambient lighting from the torches in the room you were just in.
Oh, it's dark, you say?
It is dark
it's
in here.
Dark.
Do you have dark vision?
I have low light vision.
I believe I have dark vision because I have an ability that gives me greater dark vision. if I activate it. So I think that implies I just have regular dark vision. Yes, I do have dark vision. Uh-huh.
Okay, so if I give you dark vision, you should be able to... if you click on... can you see in the room now?
I cannot.
Oh, it's a bummer. Why is that? All right, I will put a light in here for you guys. There you go.
Ah!
You see now?
I can see, yep.
Okay, cool. So the room is 10 feet wide and 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 feet long. So it's a hall. It's a hall of yours. All right, let me go ahead and get everyone's initiative around. Grimshaw, what's yours?
I got, that's pretty good, 30.
Very good. Benson?
29. Beat me by one.
Awesome. Elkwood.
I was rolling stealth. 4 on the die for 25.
Yeah,
21 the stealth, baby.
You're dumb.
And Kezra.
12.
12.
Natural 1.
12.
Natural 1 and frightened 2.
That'll do it. That will do that. Jeez. God.
12.
We're level 10, you know? I'm just making sure.
So if you rolled a natural 1, then we wanted to do critical initiatives, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you are slowed. You were slowed 1 for the first round.
Damn.
So.
Is anything invisible?
No, because the ghosts actually made themselves visible, so...
Oh, man.
Guys are just like, there are ghosts there, and we're like, we know.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah. We know! Alright, Grimshaw, it is your turn, appropriately, I think.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to identify what is going on and how to put these souls at rest.
Sure.
Can I do a religion check?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I said it was a haunt, so I thought you would assume it's a gotcha. It's a haunt.
Do you want to assume that is a 32.
32. This is definitely a ghostly choir haunt. You would know that there are two ways to get rid of a haunt in this manner. Okay. You could roll performance to disrupt the song's resonance with another tune, which is just a fun way to do it.
Yeah.
You could roll a religion check, obviously, to ritually silence the spirits, so to calm them in a way.
How many actions does each attempt take? Does it say?
It doesn't say, so I'm assuming one.
Okay, I'm going to attempt a religion check. I'm going to call upon Milani.
Milani, put your warriors at rest. The battle is done. Ours is beginning. Please intervene. Pretty please. I think that's what Benson said.
What did Benson say?
And I got a 30.
30. That is a success.
Nice.
Nice.
Taking notes, baby.
So what do you say to quell the angered spirits of these champions of Milani?
So after making... plea to Milani, I feel, you know, kind of emboldened, and I don't go like automatic, like I'm possessed, but I guess I just feel like a greater presence, and I say,
my warriors, you have done your time. It's time to rest. These you see here, they will make sure that your graves are not defiled. They will kill the defiler. Rest now.
As your hand washes over the room and the sort of calming presence from you settles their restless spirits, they float back into their statues and they have been dismissed. The room feels a lot lighter as you're standing in it now.
I was gonna feel like such an asshole if you fumbled that, and then I just came and knocked it out of the park again.
Yeah.
I know. I was just hoping, and you're like, yeah, like you go, Milani, and she doesn't respond, and you're like, I am it.
That was another natural 20.
And all the warrior spirits all transferred of I am it.
Turned into I am It changed the gravestones and everything. What the fuck?
Postmortem conversion. Okay, so you guys have defeated this haunt, and you are standing in the Hall of Heroes still. Yes.
We're gonna try to. I have dark vision. There are like sconces on the wall, right?
In this room, yes. So okay. None of them were on, none of them were lit when you came in, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to take a torch, you could light them and have it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we take a torch from the other room and we'll light a sconce in here.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Kezra uses the Staff of Fire.
Oh, yeah, cool.
He just goes down and touches them all.
Yeah.
You think you're so cool? All right,
you're cool. Right. you are cool.
Yeah, I'd really like to do perception in this room to see the, you know, they talked about their graves being defiled, so like what,
yeah, what's the
like
scene?
How are they defiled? Yeah.
You would know that these champions are not buried here any longer. So that's why these busts are here is because they're no longer buried here. They might be buried somewhere else. This is a memorial for them. So their spirits might be attached to this place just because of its significance, but they don't have graves here.
Okay. Do any of the busts look like messed up, like the angels?
No.
Hmm. All right. I guess I'll roll perception on the rune.
Yep.
I'll be the same.
It's hard to believe that there's like, I don't know, that nothing is like amiss, but I feel like I'm kind of a little happy about, you know, being able to settle the spirits. I got a 16, so I don't really see anything. Natural 2.
I got a 26.
No. Yeah, I mean, neither one of you guys, if you're looking around, you don't see anything out of place. Mm.
Benson wants to go take a listen to these doors.
Yeah.
There are double doors on the west side of this hallway, or west end of this hallway. You would assume that this is the way that you would usually come in through this room. So these two double doors would open up to have sort of a grand entrance into these Hall of Heroes.
Benson's going real quick. Kezra, it looked like that haunt got you pretty bad. Do you need anything before we move on?
Oh, shit. I forgot I took a lot of damage along with being friend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're lucky you got your friendly neighborhood Benson.
Yeah, I would lay on hands would be good.
Yeah, I lay on hands.
Yeah, that's the whatever that was has rocked me. This is not my area of expertise.
Is it 32 hit points back then?
Let me check it. 30. I'm reading 30.
30 then.
That's pretty solid still. Mm-hmm. It's still pretty good.
Yeah, for a spell I get back in 10 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. okay, so you guys put your ears up against the big Hall of Heroes doors, and you don't hear anything. You hear some idle torch, so it sounds like, you know, light flames. Mm. But you would know that that's just what a torch sounds like.
All right, I say, Grimshawn Benson in front of the doors.
Breach team
1, 2, 3.
Where are we getting C4?
I'm detecting magic as well.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to stop detecting magic, just focus on defense and smashing.
Got it. All right, you guys can go ahead and open up the door.
1, 2, 3.
Good job.
Ah.
Oh, boy.
These look more than memorials.
Yeah.
These are stone sarcophaguses that you see in this room that are that have depictions of other champions of Milani on top of them. And as you guys walk in, you guys are like, oh, these might be the graves that were defiled. And as you sort of mutter that amongst yourselves and sort of look at each other, Kezra, you feel an immense amount of necrotic magic as specters come rising out from the sarcophagi.
Oh, no.
And they look like this.
Oh shit, they look awesome.
They look cool.
Love these guys.
They scream out like the ring race from Lord of the Rings, and I will see you guys next week.
Oh my gosh.
It's like a Dementor had drip.
isn't that the guy from the Disturbed icon?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Well, howdy do. It is Timmy from the DPS. Do you know what is one of my favorite parts about TTRPGs? Dice, dice, and more dice. And if you're like me, if you're a dice goblin who just can't get enough dice, I'm here to tell you about someone we partnered with, Greenleaf Geek. Greenleaf Geek is an incredible dice maker. They have artisanal dice, they have curated dice, they have everything from soft edge to sharp edge, and they have this one set of dice called the Whisper of Roses, very fitting for Grimshaw. That's just sparkles and roses inside a sharp edged dice set. And let me tell you about a special deal. With the DPS, if you enter code DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD at checkout, you can get 10% off. So head on over to greenleafgeek.com, and when you hit that checkout button, make sure you add on a donation to plant a tree. Not only does Greenleaf Geek save your party, but it also can help save the world. Hey, that's all from me. I'll see you guys the next episode. Bye!